Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya, and then later they were moved to Najaf, and he studied in Najaf. And according to the teachers that we have heard from our teachers or the resources that we had, they have said like he became mujtahid at the age of 16 and he had the ijazah from Ayatollah Khoi.
When we look at his scientific activities, his scholarly books, we see that all of his ideas come from a very established foundation. And that systematic, planned, programmed system can also be observed and manifested in his political and social activities.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher, which is an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding philosophers, thinkers and jurists of the Islamic nation all across the world. And with me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom. We want to discuss the ideas and the thoughts of one of the most outstanding Shia jurists and philosophers, Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. Before anything, let me say salam. Dr. Azadeh, salam alaikum to you. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
And Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, salam alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. So, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, the exiged Shia jurist, thinker, and also the socio-political activist of contemporary Iraq, is the outstanding figure with whom we are concerned in this new series of the program, The Teacher. In our previous discussions, we talked about a short biography of him. We can say some of his most important socio-political and cultural activities in the country, Iraq, how he was martyred by the Ba'ath regime, and also we talked about his ideas on Islamic economics, especially the book Iqtisaduna, or Our Economics. We also talked about the concept of Haqqut Ta'a in his idea, or the right of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most outstanding, we can say, theories, or it's better to say, we can say, fields of research of Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr was developed and was presented in his outstanding book, Iqtisaduna. In that book, he presents a very beautiful concept which shows the dynamic nature of the religion of Islam and Islamic jurisprudence, and that is topic of Mantaqatul Faraq. Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, let's start with you, brother. Ayatollah Shaheed Sadr, Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, is also known with the theory, I mean Mantaqatul Faraq. What is Mantaqatul Faraq exactly? And let's start with a definition, a primary definition on that, and then we'll get to its application in today's life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In regards to the idea of Mantaqatul Faragh, the terminology which he used and the idea which he put forward, if we talk about the definition of it, literally we can translate like Mantaqa means an area,
okay,
or a space,
okay,
area. Faragh means, Faragh has come from the void or vacuum. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a free area.
Free
okay. Area.
Yes.
Technically, we can say it's a free area, Mantaqatul mm-hmm. Faragh.
Yes.
What does it mean? It means like when he is putting forward this idea in the Islamic economics, he is basically referring to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a free hand to the ruler of the Islamic, we can say, territory or ummah. Mm-hmm. That in some cases where there is no rulings about something, about a specific, we can say, like action or about a decision which they wanted to make,
that's right,
there he has a free hand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
That he can bring a new rule, mm-hmm, according to the situation,
that's
and the
right
scenario,
okay,
that is happening. But obviously there are some conditions as well.
Okay.
So when we're talking about Mantaqatul Faragh, basically we are talking about a ruler, an Islamic ruler, mm-hmm, in a specific condition where there is no ruling from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
He is given a free hand,
okay,
that on the basis of the current situation
that's
that
right
he is facing, mm-hmm, he can make decisions, mm-hmm, and that decisions can be, for example, like it is halal to do, it is haram to do, something like this.
So in order to simplify, it is a scope or domain of the, we can say, the idea and the meanings and the thoughts in which the Islamic ruler of the land has freedom in order to issue, for example, a ruling or his own deductions based on the necessities of the day, isn't it?
Yes.
That's all right.
But the point is there shouldn't be any rulings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the absence of the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, when we're talking about the rulings, and when we say, like, Islam is a religion which remains till Qiyamah, Allah has made some rules clearly, and He has given a part, a free hand to the ruler as well.
That's all right.
So that he can obviously run the government that he has on the basis of the knowledge that he has and the power which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. So mantaqatul faragh is one of the powers that is given to the ruler by
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You know, the power which is given. So Dr. Rezazadeh, what's your take on that, brother? In fact, the definition, I think, was correct. They were given by Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. But the case is that Islam is a complete and comprehensive religion, okay? Yeah. So, and the rulings are issued. So why mantaqatul faragh must be given to an Islamic ruler or ruler of a Muslim land in order to issue, for example, a new ruling regarding the conditions and the circumstances of his day?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, the whole question goes back to the question of the domain of the Islamic ruling, and in specific, the domain of Islamic economy.
That's right.
And Shahid Saad, when he talks about this in his book, he clearly classifies, let's say, Islamic economic system into two different types. And we can say that that's a general classification that we can say about anything, all the rulings in Islam. And he says that one part of the rulings that we have in Islam are the fixed parts, the rulings that have been issued by the Prophet. They have been revealed to the Prophet, and they will stay the same until the Day of Judgment.
That's right.
There are many rulings that you are familiar with. For example, the rulings of the worships and, you know, many other
obligations,
examples, obligations and prohibitions and the law. But still, there is a part of Islamic system, Islamic school of thought that includes a type of freedom for the ruler, a jurist ruler who knows the basics and who knows the foundational rulings and the principles. Based on those principles, he has. So this freedom is not an absolute freedom.
That's right.
It's a type of freedom which is necessary and is part of the Islamic school, is part of the Islamic system, in order to give this system a type of flexibility be applicable in all the times and in all the places.
And adjustable to all the
conditions. Yeah, because of the new developments that happen for the humankind. I mean, this is something that is a nature of the humanity, that they are, that they progress, they develop, and many new things emerge. So there must be new answers to the new questions.
That's all right.
We cannot just give the old answers to the new questions.
That's
so
all right.
So this needs a system.
And I think the Shia system of fiqh has this potential, I mean, in order to answer the new questions that are put. But also I think the role of the jurist and the faqih itself is very important over here.
So the whole idea is not something that did not exist in the Islamic. It definitely existed, especially before Shahid Saad, for example, Ayatollah Naini, he talked about this concept. But what Shahid Saad did, he really clarified it and he named it in a very clear way. And also he gave the specifics of this concept. And mainly he brought the idea of mantaqatul faragh, the free area, to the Islamic economic system.
In order to remind our dear listeners, I might say that we discussed it before, that Shahid Saad by Islamic economics is talking about the kind of maktab or a school of thought, which will cover not only economics, but also all the other aspects of the society. And in the book Iqtisaduna, we can say different dimensions of the life of the Muslims are covered. So in here, if you are talking about Iqtisad or Iqtisaduna, we do not necessarily mean it is only limited to اقتصادی or economic
yes.
matters.
Yes, yes.
And this
it's,
is very
it's much
important.
More general.
Yes.
Another thing that Shahid Saad mentioned is that even at the time of the Prophet, about the Prophet himself,
yes.
he had two different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he issued the, you know, the rulings based on the revelation, as I said.
That's right.
And sometimes he was actually using the other aspect of himself, which was the ruler of the society.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, he considered the situations that and some of the rulings that he did was not necessarily, you know, let's say, rulings that come out of
That's
revelation.
Right.
They were his own ijtihad somehow.
Okay. And this is also, Said Mohsen Naqvi, I think, is very much applicable when we are passing live at the time of the major occultation of Imam al-Mahdi. I mean, as the fuqaha or wali faqih, we can say, who has the very specific and special role in the society, comes to the scene. And in this, we can say, Ghaybat al-Kubra, this idea and this theory of Shahid al-Sad, I mean, Mantaqat al-Faraq, can very much help the fuqaha in order to apply Islamic rulings in the Muslim lands today, isn't it?
Well, that's true. And one thing we need to remember, when Shahid Saad is talking about Mantaqat al-Faraq, he is basically putting forward this idea at the time of occultation.
Uh-huh.
Because he said at the time when Imam is there, Imam is a hujja because he's the,
yes.
the exact authority which
yes.
has been introduced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So there is no doubt in the orders of Imam. So basically, if Imam
okay.
makes a rule...
Okay.
Or he introduces a rule, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Although, as you said, Imam, like the Prophet, might act according to Mantaqat al-Faraq
yes,
himself
yes.
too.
But okay. obviously we don't have any doubts in that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Being the Muslim Ummah, being a Muslim, I don't have any doubt when
yes.
Imam says something
yes.
or the Prophet says something.
Yes.
Because they are the direct authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon
okay.
us. Allah
yes.
has introduced them.
Yes.
The problem occurs where a representative of Imam, for example, a mujtahid or marja
mm-hmm.
comes and he issues a fatwa.
Mm-hmm.
Is this applicable on me or not?
That's right.
Especially when he is a ruler. Now, the point is that in an Islamic country, there might be many maraje,
yes.
many mujtahids,
yes.
highly esteemed scholars
yes.
who gives fatwa.
Yes.
And on top of them, there is a wali faqih.
Yes.
Now, who to see and who to obey? Mm-hmm. At that point,
okay.
For example, in a specific stance, my mujtahid gives a fatwa,
which is different from the
which
other
is
one.
Different
okay.
from the order that the wali faqih has given.
Okay,
what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
Now here, Mantaqat al-Faraq comes and says, because wali faqih is the ruler of the Muslim governorship,
okay.
and he has been given this free hand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore the mujtahid also himself who has given the fatwa should obey this waliya faqih.
Okay.
In order to have discipline in the society.
In the society, okay.
Obviously, the main job of the ruler, mm-hmm. waliya faqih, or the person who is governing, ruling the Muslim ummah,
yes.
as a waliya faqih, and this is very important, Dr. Ali Razazadeh has mentioned, like a ruler, mujtahid, marja ruler.
Yes.
This word marja, we should
yes.
not forget. We are not talking about any ruler who is ruling
okay.
the Muslim
or
ummah.
Any marja.
Or any marja.
It's better to say any marja.
Yes.
We are talking about
it's
the
not
ruler.
About any
okay.
marja.
Uh-huh.
Also, it is not about any ruler.
That's
there are
right.
many Muslim countries at the moment.
Okay. That's
there are many
right.
Muslim rulers. We are talking about a ruler who is marja himself,
mm-hmm.
who is waliya faqih, who is at the state of the, at the status of the, we can say like waliya faqih.
Yeah.
It's for him.
Yeah,
at
he has
time.
The power of deductions.
Yes. Now
he has the mastery over different aspects of the society.
So
okay.
there is a difference between
yes.
the orders that the waliya faqih
yes.
gives and the fatwa that the mujtahid gives.
Mujtahid,
for
yes,
example,
right.
maybe a waliya faqih himself is a mujtahid.
Mm-hmm.
When he gives a fatwa, his fatwa is obligation for his, like, it's obligatory for the muqalladin only.
That's all right.
The followers.
That's all right.
Not for the whole Muslim ummah.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he gives an order on the basis of being wali faqih, it is upon everyone to basically observe and to obey him.
Okay, thank you much, Said Mohsen Naqvi and Dr. Razazadeh. There is still a lot to say about the idea of Mantaqat al-Faraq and its relation to today's world, we can say some of the Muslim scholars have compared it with the theory of Masaleh Mursaleh in the, we can say, in the Sunni school of thought. And as Dr. Rezazadeh said, the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Naini has tackled this issue in his book, Tanbihul Ummah and Tanzihul Millah, which is a very nice book. Also, some say that Sheikh Al-Ansari has also presented this idea. And Shahid Assad, in order to organize and systematize this idea, we can say, has presented in his book, Iqtisadana. It was very kind of you. Inshallah, we'll continue Inshallah. Our discussion on Mantaqatul Faragh in upcoming session of the program. And thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Do not forget to visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanil.